Shanti. Welcome to our panel discussion this afternoon. And our topic is resilience and renewal, a spiritual response to global change. And I have two very special souls this afternoon with me, Sister Genti, and you all know her very well, I'm sure, but maybe some of you might not know, Sister Genti is also the head of the Brahma Kumaris Environment Initiative and has been since 2009 to almost each and every climate conference, United Nations Climate Conference. So welcome, Sister Genti.
Thank you.
And I would also like to welcome Sonia Ben. Sonia is almost 40 years in Gyan and originates from Sweden, from a small, tiny village in the middle of nowhere, and where the world is still okay. The world is still okay there. And Sonia moved a long time ago to Denmark, and she lives in Copenhagen. She looks after the center in Copenhagen, and your country in charge also, like that? Oh, she's country in charge. So she looks also after Denmark. And Sonia also is organizing and managing the Brahma Kumaris Environment Initiative, which has been founded probably at 2009 in Copenhagen, when there was the climate conference COP15, I think it was. Then we created the Brahma Kumaris Environment Initiative, and since then we all three have been to each and every climate conference. So today's topic is a spiritual response to climate change. And if we look into the world, what's going on, we all get the feeling the world is disintegrating in front of our eyes. You have this feeling that the world is falling apart? You know, it's like wherever you look in the daily news, you know, the news on climate change are disastrous. I just read that there's a heat wave in Gujarat, and in Rajkot there was a heat wave, and the temperature was 42.8 degrees, and this is 6.5 degrees above normal. 6.5 degrees above normal. So this was the hottest January in India on record. So wherever we look, climate is getting out of control. But it's also a loss of biodiversity. Animals are disappearing. Plants are disappearing. Our environment is sort of shrinking, becomes smaller. And we have a lot of pollution also in the world. And these news are not easy to digest, to see it with your own eyes. And this panel is about how we respond and what is our spiritual answer. Because of all these problems, we created this environment initiative, and we're going regular every year to the UN Climate Conference. And here in front are lying some brochures next to that little box, which you can take if you like. There's all the information about the Brahma Kumaris Environment Initiative. And there we promote our spiritual values at the climate conference. But it's not only the UN climate conference, we're also going to many other UN conferences, and Sonia will talk a little bit about this. And the reason was also that we have so many economic tensions, we have so many wars and geopolitical tensions right now. So we're going to all these conferences to give a spiritual answer, to make our presence being felt as yogis and as souls who are serving through our mind and through our words. We also have a lot of practical projects in order to demonstrate that we stay and we live in harmony with nature. We have Kalptaru, a tree planting project. We planted 2.5 million trees all over the world. We have yogic farming, and we have a very beautiful farm in Shantivan, which many of you might have seen. We're doing a lot in the farming area, and right now we're selecting 80 farms in India where we demonstrate yogic farming, and we work with the Ministry of Agriculture. We also have a plot where later the hospital will be built, and there we are planting potatoes, and I think we are, how many tons, Sonia? 20 or 200 tons per year. So most of the potatoes in Shantivan, they're coming from our own production already. So we also have massive solar projects in India, and also in our campuses we are the biggest user, institutional user of solar in the country. And we also do a lot of awareness campaigns and programs, going to conferences, doing workshops, have a lot of initiatives, and we join also various networks in order to spread Baba's message. So this is a little bit to set the tone of this whole discussion. It will be not only on environment, it will be of course our spiritual response. And let us go into our panel discussion without further ado. And my first question is to Sonia. Sonia, you are active in the UN since many, many years, since COP15 in Copenhagen in 2009, which was totally snowy and icy, when I remember it correctly. And can you share a bit what we do at the various climate conferences, not only UN climate conference, but also I know we are present at so many other UN conferences. And maybe you mention also a bit about interfaith and why is our presence so important at the climate conference?
Om Shanti and good evening everybody. And yes, you already explained a bit what we do, but COP means conference of parties. So for these UN conferences, each country sends a delegation from the ministry, normally environment ministry. And then they invite the civil society to come to the same platform. So we participate in the climate change and biodiversity and combating desertification COP conferences. Last year we were all three conferences in 1 year. And we arrange panel discussions and exhibitions and press conferences and interviews. And last year in Baku in Azerbaijan we had over 75 different activities in 2 weeks. So it's a very busy time. What most people don't know is that it's in between the conferences most work happens. You start 1 year beforehand to prepare, to find the theme of our contribution and to align that with the UN theme and to find partners and network and administration and logistics and everything. So we often, for the past two conferences, we have had a studio, Climate Wisdom Studio, where we invite guests to our own place, which we rent. And last year we have 750,000 clicks on our Climate Wisdom Studio, daily streams from the conference. But yes, we often ask ourselves, why are we doing this? And I think since the very beginning we have had so many meetings and mission statements, vision statements, but we somehow come back to the same answer, that our pure presence is very important, and to create friendship with other organizations and to support other individuals in their work, to bring stability. And last year we found three key words what we do. We connect, we provide pure presence, and we share our inside-out approach. So the inside-out approach, the overall theme is consciousness and climate change. And as you mentioned, we also work with renewable energy, yogic farming. We connect to the youth, to the women, to the interfaith. And interfaith is important because no government, no organization will listen to a single religion because they are afraid of being accused of being biased. So only when the different faith-based spiritual religious organizations unite, will anyone listen to you? And it's a beautiful message to send when there is so much religious controversies and wars in the world, that when you have a higher purpose, the religions can unite into one voice, and we are part of that work.
Thanks very much, Sonia. So I hope you all get more insight what's going on at the conference and why we actually go there. Thanks very much. Gentlemen, more and more people are not able to cope with the challenges in the world and develop anxiety, fear and depression. We met one sister in Oxford, she runs a clinic and she's a psychologist, and she said she gets more and more students which are depressed and have fear of future. On one side, Brahma Kumaris talks a lot on golden age, which is very beautiful, but in between we're all gonna leave our bodies. And for BKs, this is a tricky topic, especially at the UN. After all, collective death is not much fun and does not sell well. How best, I had a nice wordplay also, death is a killer. So how best to navigate this topic and how we can project hope? This is not only a question for the UN conference, but this is also a general question in service. How we can project hope nowadays?
Om Shanti. I think it was in 1985, I was invited to a conference in the Bahamas, a very beautiful place. And it was organized by the Yogananda, or Shivananda Yoga Ashram. And so that particular guru and that lineage has been connected with Brahma Kumaris, and they've been friends for quite a while. And the topic of the conference was after the year 2000, question mark. And I really thought that we'd have gone home and Satyug would have come by then. But I was in London and I asked Sister Maureen to ask Avyaktvap Dada what theme I should take up, because I didn't know whether to talk about destruction or golden age or what. And she spoke to Baba. Those were the days when you could come very close and ask whatever was in your heart. And Baba had a very clear guideline. Baba said, don't talk about the problems of the world. They know about those problems already. Give them a vision of the future in terms of the qualities of that world and the interaction of people in that world, and tell them that this is what they have to prepare for. And it was perfect. It gave me such a clear definition of what I should say. And so this is why when I'm at these conferences, whether it's climate change or other related UN topics, I don't get scared about talking about the golden age. It's really that vision of what it's like, the qualities, the people there, all the description that Baba's given us. And so the only thing that then I have to do is to say, well, what you need to do is to prepare for that world now. Yes, we are seeing a lot of upheaval in the world, but beyond that upheaval, there's going to be the day after the night. The day has to come, and this is what the day will be like. And so this is now the time to prepare for the day. And you won't be surprised to know that not many people want to poke around and find out, well, exactly how is this transition going to happen? They're so happy thinking about a better world and that vision of a better world that it carries them away from all the nitty-gritties of, will it be earthquake, will it be fire, what will it... They don't get into that. I also tell them that you need to have resilience today, because things are going to get worse and worse before they get better. And so I'm not telling them the exact detail that yes, you will leave your body and go home and then Satyug will come. But it's okay, because there's enough time for them to explore Gyan in detail if they're interested. So really just following that instruction from Baba has been very, very powerful and helpful for me, both in terms of the Million Minutes of Peace Appeal. Who remembers the Million Minutes of Peace Appeal? Good, a few. So this was way back in 1986. But this conference in 85 and Baba's message in 85 gave us a template to be able to do the Million Minutes of Peace. Yes, your thoughts and prayers and meditation for peace are going to bring about a world of peace. And you don't have to get into the detail of what happens with the end of Kali Yuga. They know that things are going badly wrong, but they know that what they can do is prepare for the future. When we took up the subject of vision of hope, what was it? Images and voices, that's right. Images and voices of hope. That came at the end of the 80s or early 90s. And again, it was this idea from Baba. Give them a vision of hope and they'll be able to go beyond all the challenges of today's world if they are touched by this. So it's been very easy.
All right. Thanks for sharing your method. I feel also it's important to feel the pulse of the people when you meet them. Mostly people are quite happy with a happy story. Some few, they want to know a bit more, then we have to see. Thanks very much. Sonia, we have been recently in Delhi to the World Sustainable Development Summit, which is a pure science conference, and somehow we managed to get Sister Shivani in. And in India, they love it. It seems slowly we're getting a bit this bridge built to the science community, which was not easy. And there we had the chance to meet the Brazilian environmental minister, and she knows the Brahma Kumaris, and she was quite positive, actually. She took time with us, stood with us, chatted with us. We told her we have some problems with accommodation. We don't have yet accommodation. She said something will happen. And in the recent letter of the COP, the climate, the next conference presidency from Brazil, they send always a letter every 2-3 months. There's a lot of talk about values and ethics, which is extremely unusual. Normally these information letters are pure signs and difficult to understand. And this time they talk about compassion, love and so on, soft topics, which we are also promoting. And my question is this our influence? Is this the influence of Brahma Kumaris? We're going since 20 years now to this conference. And is the UN ready for a spiritual response to the current crisis?
Well, actually, I brought the letters. I thought I'd read the opening paragraph to you, because I've never seen a UN document which in the opening paragraph is listing 14 virtues. And this is the incoming COP president from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Brazil. And he says, the international community has to reflect on the shared human values which hold us together, and then peace, prosperity, hope and renewal, consideration and gratitude, unity and connection, resilience and optimism, generosity and kindness, diversity and inclusion.
Wow.
And yes, I don't think we should underestimate the power of pure vibrations. So I'm very sure that this is the result of our work for a long time, but not only our work, also other religious spiritual organizations who have influenced the UN for many, many years. And actually in our green team, we often talk about what do we want the UN to focus on in a few years' time. And then we start focusing on that. And after a few years, it becomes a public talk. And one example you will remember is UNESCO. They had the headline on their pavilion, "Don't change the climate, change your consciousness," which was our slogan a few years before. And in this year, in last year in Baku, we were invited to 3 different pavilions to conduct regular meditation on a regular basis, meditation for the youth, meditation for food, meditation for a good start. But the history of the UN climate change conferences is very short. So first they talked about polluting less back in Copenhagen. That didn't work. So then they started to talk to adapt to changing circumstances, adaptation. That didn't work. After a few years, they talked about resilience, that we had to build strength to face the coming catastrophes. And that didn't work. So now they talk about hope. Hope is the latest buzzword. So yes, I enjoy your sharing about hope, sharing the hope of golden age and everything. So I was thinking, what do I want them to talk about in a few years? And maybe something about angels or God. And I think the UN community is very ready because they're desperate.
Wonderful. So it seems the UN is slowly getting ready and will be probably one of the platforms for revelation also of Baba's knowledge. Because the whole world comes together. It's the only place where the whole world comes together and discuss the problems of the world. Very nice. Thanks, Sonia, for sharing. Sister Jenti, it seems when we look at the world that all the karma which ever has been created is coming up, even if it has been carefully hidden under the carpet. The signals are everywhere, and I always remember Dadi Janki, she listed once the signs and signals of karma. She says the first sign is you want to do something, but it doesn't work out. I mean, we all experience that. We want to become perfect and angel, it doesn't work out. Number two, suddenly something happens to you. We also experience that. You suddenly get sick or whatever. And number three, you are in trouble or problem, or you're suffering in relation with friends or relatives. And if you look in 1, 2, or 3, I'm sure every Brahmin will find, yes, 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 I have something in 1, I have something in 2, and I have something with 3. Baba also said that the tree at the end will be shaken. The kalpa tree will be shaken, you know, like also the Brahmin world will be shaken at the end. And I think we have not yet have a real shake-up. BKs are also not immune to the effects of karma and upheaval. Have the BKs to be extra careful at the current time and pay more attention? That's one part of my question. And the second part is how to deal with tricky karmical accounts or conflicts which are erupting in the Brahmin family, and how to help BKs in such a moment to overcome their limitations and be able to transform that karmical account.
I also sometimes remember the fact that Baba had said that before the end comes, the tree will be shaken. And hearing Baba talk about faith in a couple of muralis now, I see that when Maya attacks my faith, that really is dangerous, because then what is the basis on which I move forward? So the first step is to make sure that whatever is going on around me or in front of me, I have to keep my faith in Baba, that this is God's work, and faith that Satyug is going to come. Doesn't matter how many obstacles people put in the way, but Satyug has to come. And then of course, yes, Baba said, have faith in yourself, have faith in Rama, but I'm just aware that faith in God and faith in the future is so powerful that you see the karmic accounts, but you say, it's okay, it's a settling, and you don't get yourself tied up with those karmic accounts. And because on an inner spiritual level, you've come to the stage of detaching from the skin, but also detachment from whatever is going on down here, you're going to be able to connect with God and get Baba's guidance on what you should do. And so I think that, yes, the karmic accounts are coming, but if I'm following Baba's timetable, then that timetable in itself makes sure that I stay protected and under Baba's canopy of protection. So that's the first one. What was the second one?
How to help Brahmins when such karmical conflict erupts, you know, how to help them to overcome.
You know, Holi is the festival of color, comes from the company you keep. And so if I have faith, and I'm keeping that faith strong and alive, then when I see others who are going through a difficult time, giving them company and giving them that vibration of faith in the drama, faith in the self and in Baba is very, very important. And so I know that it's not easy for Brahmins who live on their own or Brahmins who live far away from a center. But even in those situations, if you make sure that your study of the Murali is really focused and you have time to be with Baba morning and through the day, then those two things are going to help you manage whatever it is that comes. And so it's simple, but I think that that really is the way to be safe. And we're not asking God for protection for this body, because I don't know how long I'm going to have it, and at some point we all have to leave bodies and go home. But what I'm doing is drawing from Baba spiritual power, so that whatever comes my way, I have the capacity to be able to deal with it. But I'll only be able to have that stable connection with Baba if I have faith. And so absolutely vital that I don't get distracted by other people's karma, other people's behavior, or anything else that's going on, not even by the politics. Seeing the situation across the world in terms of politics, it's end of Kali Yuga. God's got the chess pieces absolutely in place for the final journey home. And so it's not a pleasant scene, it's a difficult scene, but I just have to remind myself that Baba is in charge and it's time to go home.
Thanks for sharing. So have faith and send good vibration and power to those souls which are right now in trouble. That probably is the best what we can do, and become loving, detached and compassionate. Thanks very much, Sister Jenti. Sonia, we have the money. We have so much money in the world. I mean, some, they say the Brahma Kumaris, is there not the same? The Brahma Kumaris is the richest in the world. But actually there's a lot of money in the world circulating around. Trillions of dollars are circulating every day. So some people have a lot, and most of the governments are bankrupt, but there's a lot of money in the world. There's a lot of technology, and there's a lot of concepts and ideas how to fix the problems in the world. And we hear a lot of them in the climate conference. I remember when we came to Copenhagen, they looked at us and they said, "What are you yogis, you funny people in white, what are you doing here? We have money, technology and strategy, and we fix the climate problem." That was 20 years ago almost. But it seems humanity is not able to unify or to move forward. Something stops us, and the planet goes further downhill. Sonia, what stops us? What's happening? Why we're beings of intellect, why we're not able to, why is humanity not able to fix the problems of the world? And how we as BKs can ourselves become change makers and inspire other BKs also to change and inspire the world for greatness?
Well, and when I got this question, I thought this is a question for you, Sister Jyanti. So please fill in and add whatever you want after. but I can only share my own effort. That's all I can do.
I especially ask you, Sonia. Sister Jyanti gets another one.
But first of all, I wanted to connect to what you said before about the timetable in the previous question, because I was thinking today the only thing which is normal nowadays is my timetable. The world around me is so changing, but the only thing which stays the same is the timetable. So actually what used to be routine, and maybe sometimes routine was considered to be a bit boring, nowadays is quite liberating, because it's the only thing which is normal. It's the timetable. But anyhow, back to the question, how to become change maker and what stops us. But I think each one has to ask themselves, how can I be a change maker? What brings me happiness? How can I stay inspirational? What stops me? And I can only share my efforts with you. But change maker is very close to leadership. And some of you will remember the old days we used to do self-management leadership course, SML. And there they had identified three key virtues, three key powers of leadership. And I think these three key values are still relevant today. And the first one was clear communication. And you look today, so much misinformation, disinformation, untruth, misunderstanding. So clear communication is very, very important to become a change maker. And for me, I have to think my thoughts and my words have to be aligned in order to communicate clearly. Otherwise, it's my mistake, right? So I'm practicing that, to communicate clearly. And if there is misunderstanding, I wouldn't hesitate to go back to try and fix it. And the other thing is visible leadership. To be available, to be present, to be out there. And we remember the daddies, right? Always available. And still you seniors, you are always available. If we want a personal meeting, we get it. And you would remember the Kamarka daddy in the courtyard in Pandavavan, visible leadership, not to hide too much behind the computer screen or behind the phone, but to be out there in the society. And Copenhagen is a small town. Every day I go for a walk, and every day I meet somebody who knows the center. And they always need a chit-chat of some kind. So I say to Baba every morning, I'm available, and I open myself for a good day. And then I take it from there. And the last quality would be to be peaceful. In chaotic situations, people have a tendency to remain peaceful. And all these virtues, clear communication, peace, and availability, is to go against the present trends. So even if it's a natural sanskaras of us, it takes more effort to remain in that. Because the world is the opposite direction. And I wanted to add one thing is about change maker and about being inspirational. And our first green retreat after Copenhagen was in the US, in Peace Village. And we did an interview with Sister Mohini about Golden Age. And she said in Golden Age the matter is not only pure but it's rich. So she gave the example of water. It's not only pure as in sterile, it is also pure as in rich of minerals and fragrance. And the soil is not only pure as in clean soil, but it's full of worms and bacteria, it's rich. And the same way our efforts now in confluence age has to be the same, not only pure as purity itself, but pure as rich and balanced life. So our kind of BK life has to be all embracing in a sense, open and rich and balanced.
I'd like to add something to what Sister Chathonia has been sharing. And that was the first part of Gola's question. We have the money, we have the technology, we have the know-how, we have all of this information, yet how come things aren't working out? And I think it's two factors that I can identify. There can be many, many, but certainly two. One is money, immediate money, and the other is fear. And I see that for the politicians, they go where the money is. And I don't want to expand on that too much, but just one simple example, and it applies to many, many countries, not just one or two. They know the impact of coal, they know the impact of oil, and yet they'll go drilling, digging to search for all of this because it's immediate money for them. They're not seeing it in the bigger picture of what's happening to humanity. They're very, very narrow-minded, tunnel vision. This is going to get us money, this is what we're going to do. And the second is fear. And I see that this is true in the scientists, as well as in politicians, as well as in the population generally. Where was I yesterday? I was somewhere where somebody said, well, you know what's going to happen with climate change in terms of all the big cities. And it's not just one or two or three. And it was specifically about India. And scientists have identified exactly where the first problems will arise. So it's Mumbai, it's Chennai, it's all the coastal Kolkata, these three big metropolises in India. And what's going to happen? The level of the sea is going to rise, it is rising, and that's it. The skyscrapers will come down like a pack of cards. But they're not telling people about this in a big way. They're talking about it quietly. The politicians, of course, they can't deny climate change science, because they've always said, we believe the science. But they're not really understanding, and they're afraid to find out more and to tell people about it. We've crossed how many? Seven of the tipping points out of 16?
Out of 12 tipping points, we've crossed 8.
Okay, the numbers keep changing. So 12 tipping points, which means things become irreversible. You can't bring them back to a level of normality. So we've crossed 8 of the tipping points. And it's not big news. Most people don't know this. And why? Because people don't want to cause fear. They think that if people know all of this, there's going to be panic. And probably there would be. But people are also sensible. They search for information and they find the information. But it's these two things, money and fear. And so I think that's why we are not hearing about it in a big way.
All right. Thank you for sharing your points. What stops us to change? Sister Jenti, the world, but also the Yakya, is changing very fast. And it seems even there's a connection. What happens in the Yagya happens in the world, and what happens in the world happens in the Yagya. Somehow I feel they're interconnected, which is actually as it's supposed to be, because we're the seeds. And if something happens here, it has an impact in the world, and vice versa. And we can also see a generational change in the Yagya, in the institution. Many seniors have left us. And also Baba is no more coming, Aviyak Baghdad is no more coming nowadays. And I think Baba has foretold that. I heard when Baba said, when I've told you everything, I will not come anymore, and you have to come up to subtle region. So sometimes when you talk to Brahmins, they say we're in the last chapter of the Yagya. And so on the other side, we're still caught up in attachments. Attachments from to our body, but also attachment in our relations, or attachment to service projects, or attachment to our possessions. And this pulls us quite a lot in the other side. So it's a personal question. And I know you, a lot of stuff is coming to you, and you have to make special efforts to be detached from all that what comes up to you. So what's the magic of Sister Genty to be free and fly high?
It's true, we've seen lots of sanskaras come up in a big way and critical situations come up in the world outside and also in the Brahmin family. And this is why we're hearing the Muralis that we hear. You know, how often does Baba tell us to not have waste thoughts, to stop the thoughts of I and my and mine. It keeps coming up in the Muralis again and again and again. And for me, the mantra that carries me through everything is that God is in charge. If you look at the story of the Yajna, it's incredible. Here's this man, and suddenly he has visions, and then he faces opposition, and yet the Yajna continues and gets established. They come to India, and suddenly there's service happening in such a big way. Women who were like sheep, they could not answer back. They could not speak in front of other men. Whether they spoke to their husbands in private, I don't know. But certainly a woman could not speak in front of even her father-in-law. In fact, he was like the patriarch, and so you couldn't. And now they were seeing these women give talks in front of 10,000 people. What happened to them? God's power, the poverty period, and then you come to a point of abundance like there is today. Baba guiding Brahma Baba. So when I just think about the history of the Yajna, it's just incredible. It really is. If you want to have proof that it's God's work, go back and study the history of Brahma Kumaris, and you'll know that it can only be God. It can't be anyone or anything else. It's really intoxicating to think about the story. Anyway, so here we are now, and I know that Baba's going to help us personally, individually, but still it's number wise. And if we focus on the ones who are able to go through all this and not get caught up in all the stories and issues that are going on, you see the leaders, you see the ones who are able to stay above all that. And so who do I want to follow? Do I want to follow Brahma Baba? Do I want to follow Mama or the Dadis? Or am I going to get stuck here? So I think that to fly means to just trust that Baba's in charge and Baba's going to guide me. And whatever happens through this period of turmoil, the Yajna is going to survive until the task has been completed. So that's what keeps me going.
Thanks very much for sharing this insight. So it's faith in Baba that he's protecting you, and that's your magic. Thanks very much, Sister Genty. So I had three questions for everybody, but we're very good in time. So I prepared some reserve question, which is also very interesting. Of course, we all want to know when is the date of destruction. And I know in Brahma Kumaris we had so many speculations about that. I remember when I came in Gyan, it was 84, and I met Brother Manfred, and Manfred told me, in 3 years is destruction. And I said, very good. It's very good. I will do, because I was convinced I'm a super yogi, and I didn't know much about Maya and all this kind of stuff. And so I said, okay, we'll do 3 years, and then we're all going to leave the body, and Satyug will come. I had no issues with that. Then the time passed, and it was 84, 85, 86, 87. And then I asked Manfred, what happened? And he says, one more year. One more year. So I remember then we had the year 2000 with a computer bug. And then the next one, we bought water bottles and generators and whatnot, and candles. Don't forget the candles. And then came the year 2012 in the Maya calendar. And we were all looking at 2012 and nothing happens. And here we are. A lot of interesting prophecies for 2025. A very influential election result in the US, which is changing the whole geopolitics right now. I don't go into details. And things are warming up or heating up. And we're really approaching challenging, interesting times where really our inner strength and stability is being asked. So I have this question to both of you. Maybe first, Sonia, you can ask. What's your forecast for the next years for the Brahma Kumaris Institution and how BKS will transition from also doing a lot of service to talking, more hint towards tapasya maybe, you know? And maybe you can also share a bit your personal effort, your, I'm sure, have promised yourself. and you bit share what is your personal effort and how you see yourself in that transformation.
Well, it's a very interesting question. And when I think the BK community is becoming somehow more blissful, more inclusive, more loving, more nice to be in. And that is in the contrast to the world out there is increasing, because it is becoming more ugly there and more beautiful within our community. So I have to be able to operate these two worlds very easily. And so that's my effort. And I sometimes feel when I'm becoming more pure, it's like the skin becomes thinner and I can feel the world more clearly. And if you remember the Lord of the Rings, when he closer he comes with the ring, the more the heavy of the negativity of the world he can feel. And I feel sometimes the world, I can feel it too much, I think. And what I do at those times, I think of Golden Age, and because that's helped me to protect myself from the influence of the old world or the negative world. And you talked very beautifully about Golden Age in the beginning of the program. And I think we often think about how will our relationship as human beings be in the Golden Age. The other day in the meditation, I imagine Sonia as a deity giving drishti to me today. It was a very nice exercise, but then I got caught up in the thought if I would have brown eyes or blue eyes in Golden Age. But anyhow, we can also think about how will the relationship to nature be in Golden Age, to the birds, to the trees, to the water, will you be able to communicate somehow with it? And that relationship to nature in Golden Age I have to create today. And I was remembering Daddy Yankee, she said, don't waste your breath, she often said. That's my relationship with air. So there is many things to think about which is inspirational and which give hope, which will protect me from the influence of the negative world. And I just wanted to share one more thing about hope, because Sister Dianti also talked about hope. And I think each one of us has to find what gives me hope in hopeless situations. And once in Paris, in the famous climate change conference in Paris, I've shared this story many times. The three of us, we met with a professor from Sweden, Professor Rockström. So he's always enthusiastic. So I asked him, what gives you hope actually? And he said, technology. And I thought, okay. So I asked Sister Jenty, we had a meeting, and she said that the soul is immortal. And I thought, wow, that's two very big different answers. So I asked Golo, and Golo said the fact that I can influence the world around me and be part of designing the future gives me hope. And I realized that each one of us has a very different approach to hope. So I asked myself, and actually kindness gives me hope. So if I'm in a hopeless situation, I find somebody to be kind to, and it helps a lot. So this is the effort I'm doing to create a beautiful BK bubble and to become resilient towards the negative world.
Thanks, Sonia, for sharing. Sister Jenty, what's your forecast for the next years for the Brahma Kumaris and for the world? And it would be fantastic you can share some secret book messages which only may be circulated among the top seniors, not being revealed to us. I'm sure they know the dates and everything. And also, what's your special efforts?
In terms of the world, it's just collapse. I just see how we're heading towards that point where the economy will collapse, and the forecast for natural disasters is actually something that everybody's aware of. So all that is really multiplying very, very quickly. But in India, the forecast is by the astrologers, not by scientists, that by the end of March this year, 2025, we'll see a lot of things happening in terms of climate change in a very negative way that impacts everybody. And so, Brahma Kumaris, in India, the president is a BK, and she's not shy about being a BK, and she's not shy about going to BK centers. Just yesterday we were commenting how normally within a 5-year term for a president, and maybe certainly protocol people would tell them, you can only go to a particular organization maybe once a year max. Some would say just once within their term of office, that's it. But generally it would be once a year maybe. But this person, she has such courage that she doesn't choose the places she goes to. Protocol people choose that for her. It's very, of course, political, so they decide which city she goes to or whatever. But then once she knows where she's going, she'll connect with the center or tell her PA to connect with the center and find out what's happening. And if it's something appropriate, then she'll make sure she'll visit there. Why I say this is because just yesterday, she was in a place called Hisar, which is a little town in Punjab. But they were celebrating their 50 years, and maybe they wouldn't have had such a big celebration. I was there at their center last year at some point, and they've got a big auditorium, 2,000, and they've got a big retreat place. So she was there. Why I'm going into the detail of this is that everywhere I've gone in India, they've had either the chief minister come or somebody similar, equivalent. The top leaders have come to Shantivan and they keep dropping in. It's not, you know, a long-term program, but they come to Rajasthan for something or another, then they pop in. And so the service in India is incredible, both in terms of numbers, but also in terms of the level that they've been able to reach. And so service in India is nearly done, really, I think so. Across the world, we're a little bit behind. To get a mayor to one of our centres is a big deal, never mind the president. And so we're happy if the mayor comes. And there's only few countries where they've been able to reach presidents and prime ministers. But one little island is very interesting. It's little. The number of Brahmins is 15, and that number has been static for several years. And yet, of course, because it's a small place and small population, it's been easy to reach the president every time, the prime minister also. But not just meeting them, these people have really now very close to Brahma Kumaris and philosophy and so on. And I'm talking about Iceland, tiny island, tiny population, tiny family, but the people they've been able to reach is incredible. And not just reach, but bring them into close connection with BKs. So I'm sure that this sort of God's plan that will unfold is going to happen in many more countries, being able to reach the top leaders of the country. And at some point, if not within a year, certainly within 2 years, we will be able to find those souls who can be mics for that region. I used to think there'll be one big mic that will give information to the world, God has come. And I remember when I'd come back from Egypt, my first visit to Egypt in 84, and I'd been a guest of Madame Sadat, the widow of the president. She was, of course, now the widow. But I came back and Baba asked me, who did you meet? And I said to Baba, yes, I met the prime minister, I met a few other people, but they weren't interested. And Baba then said, there will be a mic in every region of the world, and when all these mics point their finger to one, and that will be the same direction that you're pointing in, they'll point to Shiv Baba, that there is only one. When they do that, then yes, Baba's revelation will have happened. So look for the quality souls who can be mics in your region, not just in your country, but mics for that region, and serve those souls. And someone surely, for Baba said they would, there'll be somebody who's going to then be the mic for Baba in that region. But all of them will point their finger towards one. So that gives me a lot of hope. So I'm seeing the collapse, but I'm also seeing where Baba's taking the Brahma Kumaris to. And Baba said the other day, they say that the Brahma Kumaris are very good, they're good people, they're showing others the path, but people haven't yet understood that it's God who is teaching them and that there is only one path, not maybe this, maybe this, maybe this.
Sister Jenti, and your special effort?
And my special effort to stay very light and not get pulled down by anyone or anything.
All right. So we got a lot of insight, and I hope you enjoyed the conversation, and there were some points for you to think more deeply and being inspired. We still have a couple of minutes for some questions, and we have a microphone here. And anybody likes to ask a question? Yes, please stand up, brother. Yes.
Om Shanti.
Stand up, please. Stand up.
Om Shanti. What do you think about the any prospects of a nuclear war? And if Bharat is imperishable, will that escape any nuclear fallout? Like it would avoid the catastrophic effects of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Okay, okay. His question was about nuclear war and what will happen to India, how to avoid the fallout. And I mean, I'm also thinking a lot about that question. It's a very interesting question. It touches a bit of science. And if there is there are a lot of simulations of nuclear wars, and the smallest nuclear war is projected between India and Pakistan, when 5 nuclears are being sent from Pakistan to India and 5 nukes are sent from India to Pakistan. So that's the smallest possible nuclear war. And then something happened which is called the nuclear winter. There will be a fallout and there will be a lot of dust being sent in the upper troposphere, and there will be a dark cloud around the planet for 3 years, and food production will collapse, and it doesn't look good for the global population. So indeed, there is still some mysterium in destruction and transformation, and Baba is the overall director and maybe also will do some magic. I'm not fully aware, but maybe, so it's an interesting topic, but not everything has been revealed, how in detail this will all go to happen. But maybe Sonia or Sister Jenti would like to give a brief answer to nuclear war and fallout.
Two things. Baba had said that, and I know that there's nukes in Pakistan and India and all around, but Baba had said that India will be mostly affected by the natural disasters and civil war rather than nuclear war. Now, I don't know how and why and things will resolve, but that's categorically from Sakar Baba. And the second thing is that when a person asked Dadi Gulzar, how long will it take for things to settle and Satyug to begin, and Dadi Gulzar's answer was, it'll happen in a flash. Now, that's a totally different concept to what the scientists tell us, but now, who do I believe? I don't believe the scientists, because they just don't have enough information. So I'd rather believe Dadi Gulzar, and she had access to a lot of secrets, of course. And so I think that that transition, once the nuclear war begins, there are no survivors within that area, within those areas. People will fly home very quickly. And here also, massive deaths through any disaster, and souls will go home. And meanwhile, quick flash, and the earth will be transformed. So that's
Sister Jenti, you said signs are not in that thinking in that direction. There is a certain category of signs. They think that our consciousness is connected to quantum field, and that quantum field creates reality. So when there's a shift in consciousness and we are the seat of the tree, then physical reality will be massively impacted. And if we become pure and become loving and detached to matter, matter will become purified in an instant. So it's a new stream, in a new paradigm in science. It's called quantum consciousness. You can Google that and you will find a lot of very weird but very interesting articles which somehow correlate also what Baba says. But there has been some other questions. Sister, can you come to the front, please? Can you come to the front? Yes, please come to the front. Come. Yes, be fast, come. Run. Yes! Good.
Hello, Dr. Janara from Australia. I'm just very curious from the talks that you gave, and thank you very much. There are a lot of First Nations and Indigenous people in Australia, and I always find it very curious when people talk about world climate change, that they often don't talk about the knowledge that First Nations people have, not only of the story of the change, but of the things that we can utilise on the planet, on the land, on country, to support ourselves, to sustain ourselves when change happens. Mm. For example, Australia's just had a big cyclone, and First Nations people have a much more interesting connection to what happens with environmental phenomenon than non-First Nations people. And so I'm very curious about your connection at the UN and at the COP with groups of people who actually have this knowledge and how they can utilise it, because we've started to do it much more in Australia and find it very effective.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Maybe Sonia can say something to that.
Yeah, I can just start. But thank you, Janara. And in the UN, indigenous communities do have a very strong presence. And now next this year the COP will be in Brazil, in the Amazonas, and the indigenous communities will play a big role in the coming climate change conference. And I also think that's why we have a letter of this kind from the presidency, talking about virtues, referring to spiritual leaders and families, etc. So, yes, the indigenous, we do work with them. We do programs together with them, indigenous knowledge. But yes, they are suffering a lot, I agree. And it's very sad to see. And,
all right. Yes.
And just before, I have a final comment also about something else, just for you.
Yeah. Just have an eye on that.
I just want to give a comment to this comment. And that was that in the year 2000, when the UN invited religious and spiritual leaders, there were many people from the northern areas of Europe, Lapland, Greenland, and so on.
Meditation.
And they had come to the UN conference specially, and they came on the stage, a whole group of them, and they said, "We have brought a message for all of you." This is the year 2000, and the ice is melting. The ice is melting. And it sort of sent a shiver down my spine when I heard it. But today, that's the reality that we see. The ice is not just melting. A lot of it has melted already. And so indigenous people do have an awareness of things before they actually manifest. And another thing that I heard from a scientist in one of our conferences in Greece, the Science and Consciousness Symposium, way back in 91, and this is Brian, I forgot his surname, the physicist.
I don't know, but wait a minute.
Okay. But he said that, how come when I was living in the Amazon, the indigenous people invited me to a ceremony, which was a mourning ceremony for the Amazon. And when he'd been invited for that, there was no question about pollution in the Amazon River, but they had a mourning ceremony, so they definitely have knowledge or information about
all
the
right.
future.
Sister Dienti and Sonia, please. It's time. We want to make a meditation.
I just want to say that we now have green regional coordinators in each region and in each country. And if you don't know who they are, please come and see me or write to us and I will help you.
All right, so we're really coming to the end because Sister Genti sent us a WhatsApp. We should finish right now at 5:55. So I'm the person with the clock. It's an unfortunate job. Thanks very much. I hope you liked the question and you got a bit inspired. What is our spiritual response to the changing world, and what are we actually doing at this UN conferences and what's going on? Thanks very much. I hope you liked the conversation and the questions. And I would kindly request Sister Genti to give a short guided meditation towards resilience and transformation. Om Shanti. Thank you.
Sitting quietly, I come to the throne in the center of the forehead. I sit on this throne and I feel peace and I connect with Baba. And Baba fills me with power. And I know that with all the upheaval that's going on, Baba's power is going to help me be stable, clear, and compassionate. The soul is eternal, immortal, and it has a home to go to. But yes, I have to maintain the awareness of who I am and my connection with Baba and Baba's light not only reaches me, the Baba's light reaches the whole human family and ignites hope in their hearts. Baba's light touches all forms of life so that they can be safe and protected. Baba's light touches the entire globe, all the elements of nature and the plant kingdom. And Baba's light purifies nature itself. Baba takes us from darkness to a world of light. Om Shanti.